This is Irene Ellman recording Rabbi and Mrs. Sholem Posner for the Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2. Rabbi Posner, the last time we were together, we talked about how you raised money to buy the Soho bathhouse to be the new yeshiva. And you said you gathered money for many people in the community. Would you like to comment on that?
But before this, I want to comment the memory of some people of blessed memory that stood with me together by the yeshiva. The first secretary of the yeshiva, Mr. Meyer Friedel.
Mr. Meyer
Friedel. He was a very devoted man to the idea of the old school. The first president, Mr. Leon Gottlieb.
Mr. Leon Gottlieb. Yeah.
First vice president, but really he wasn't just vice president. He was almost like I am. He didn't produce as much as I produced because the yoke was on me. And he was a businessman with his business also. But he carried the yoke of the yeshiva just like I. Even when he slept, when he was sleeping, he used to come the next morning with some kind of ideas. And he did whatever it was in his capacity to do. Couldn't be expected no more from any man.
Who was that?
Abe Dunn.
Abe Dunn.
God bless him. Mr. Leo Unger. And Mr. Jacob Gold.
Leo Unger and Jacob Gold. Were they on the board or were they? They just helped you a lot?
He didn't have special name of a board and officers. It was names of officers, yeah.
Charter members.
Not only. So. And the couple that left over from that time, Mr. Max Bowser, for longer years. He should live a long time. He was the second president, and he was with the yeshiva from the first day of the founding of the yeshiva. And Mr. J.D. Golding, the attorney.
What was it? J.D.?
Golding.
Golding. Mr. Golding did the legal work for
all
you.
All the legal work of the yeshiva, like the charter, and then the, yeah.
And he still is helping
you. He still is up here. Yeah. The bodybuilding on Dawson Street, and then the...
Nelson
Avenue, the building on Whiteman Street. The building, the sole building, so all the legal things were done all through him. And still amazed with the yeshiva. We should stay for a long life, for a long years. All these people I named, they did a lot for the yeshiva. besides what they did, gave me a lot of courage also to go out with the work. Thank God now we have from the younger generation also people that are very interested and doing a lot of good work for the issue. It got to do with the maintenance, that means to bring in funds.
Bringing in what?
Funds. Funds.
Oh, funds.
Yeah. In other words, I have a lot of good memories about my time in Pittsburgh. Till now, and I hope for the future.
You say you have a lot of good memories. The community really helped you and supported you. Were all of these people that helped you very observant Jews, or did they come from all facets of Jewish life?
Those people, most of them, are observant Jews. But I got a lot of help in the part of my work about bringing in funds, so I got maybe more from the not observing Jews. Mm. They sympathize with me, with the yeshiva.
Financially, receive more from the non-observant Jews in the community.
Because the non-observant Jews have more.
Have more to give.
They have more to give, just to give.
More people.
That's a good thing that shows that even those that are considered not observing Jews, still they sympathize with the Yeshiva.
They saw the need for it and they wanted to be successful.
And see, there's a big improvement because when I came and we started, the idea of a holding school was very strange to me. And the help from non-observers wasn't too much, was very little, only from those that had sympathy for every needy thing and every needy one. If I can, they help out. But now, most of them are sympathizing with it, and they are for it, because they all see now the need for our older school and the
You feel that these people felt that there was definitely a need for Torah education in the city of Pittsburgh.
Torah education, the real Torah of Torah.
Do you remember any names of these people?
Okay.
The non-observant people that really helped you a lot.
They're still not here.
You were saying that originally people thought an all-day school could not exist here.
Did exist in the yeshiva here?
They thought it would not.
Was accomplished to this. First was accomplished because before, even those Jewish, the observers, the rabbis, that they was for a holiday school, but they didn't believe that the people could have been. And after 4 years of the existence of the yeshiva, they saw that this is a possible thing, and if it could be done through a man that was sent on the river, why couldn't it be done from Parabat and Hir, the city? And that's why they found it, the whole material.
It's too bad they weren't combined.
Did the time, so even those that consider themselves not observant, I don't want to call them not observant, but they consider themselves they're not observant. Even they recognize the need of our old-day school, and not only they support the lingerie. They said, put the twinkles and the effort and forget anything. There was even some people from the conservative movement. And they also are involved in all this group, in the whole academy.
Well, once you bought the building, it probably needed a lot of remodeling.
You mean the building on Fifth Avenue?
Yes.
This is no question that needed a lot of remodeling, because it was a bad house. So I had to throw out everything from inside. Besides, I only left the down floor of the swimming pool.
Where were the children going to school when all this was going on?
What?
Where were the children from the yeshiva going to school while you were remodeling?
In the beginning, you know, they had the yeshiva on Dawson Street,
yes.
Then Nelson Avenue, and then when the building on Nelson Avenue was sold, so they had a couple of classes on Viper Street, some classes in the Charlie Taylor Show, on the dining room in the Russian show.
Which show?
The Russian show.
Russian?
Yeah. That's how I call it, the show.
On Bartlett Street.
Yeah. Naturally, it couldn't exist too long like this. Mm-hmm. And the enrollment started to go down and down. From 140, 45, they had a national family. They came down to about 80, 85.
You went from 145 to 80 or 85 because everybody was in a different spot.
Because under these circumstances, it was too hard to keep the enrollment. Something dropped out without their interest. So we saw the most of having our own building. We bought a couple of buildings to spread here, but the neighbors did not approve if it opened a school there. That's why he was forced to buy that building at 15.
How long did it take between the time you bought the building and the time you could open your classrooms?
Oh, maybe a year or so next year. It didn't take too long.
Wait, it took a year?
Well, maybe less than a year.
Less than a year to remodel it and get it ready for the first group. So you had 85 when you bought it. Now, when you first went into the building, how many children did you have?
You had 85.
And your enrollment has grown since then. What is your enrollment today?
240, 150, that's our months. A couple more, a couple less.
So you've had a gradual increase in students through the years.
The last couple of years we don't have an increase because we had to fulfill the dropouts and the graduates. But I mean dropouts is because a lot of our children, they moved out.
Where do they move?
Another city.
Well, they leave the city.
They get it worse. Moved out. That's what children issue. A lot of people moved out from those. So we have a lot of children from professionals. Professionals, some of them don't stay too long. They go to the investing guy, the rest finds a job in a better place. They got to court case. They bought a house, the city, and I moved out also. Like it was from the shoe. The same thing by us, a lot of children moved out, and that's why we're glad if we fulfill the dropouts and all the year.
Do you have a large kindergarten and first grade class now?
No, we have really nice. We have the kindergarten nursery and pre nursery.
So that helps to bring your enrollment up if your lower classes are large.
That's the main enrollment. That's why we open the nursery and pre-nursery. Because most of them remain in the grades also. Mm-hmm. Because to get children from the public schools to kindergarten is not so easy.
Well, it's not easy for the children either because they don't know Hebrew, and to come in without knowing Hebrew.
Excuses a lot, but the effect is not so easy. So the main thing is from the school itself. And that's why we open the kindergarten beginning, and then the nursery, and now we open even a pre-nursery.
What age is pre-nursery?
3 and a half.
3 and a half. Is that a half day?
Not exactly a half, about 4 hours.
Does Hillel have pre-nursery and nursery school?
Okay.
Wait,
they have nursery school. Well, how do you, all right, so you opened up, now what year was that when you started?
1943.
So it's almost, well, 30 years.
31 years.
And do you, have you noticed an increase in pupils over the year or a decrease? In other words, what future do you see for the yeshiva? Do you think you'll have more students eventually? Or?
Some people say, for instance, if people get the yeshiva now, it's still here. For example, without exaggerating, I don't make 50 children out of it. I could guarantee it. We would like to have the yeshiva in the school here, in our working districts. Because then we would have more activities on Shabbos. That means we would have more children. But we are looking for the future that the yeshiva will exist. No such a thing, how much you have to produce. This is not a factory of merchandise. You have to do so much and so much.
As long as you have any children, you are doing something, and that's all.
If you save one child, one child is the whole world.
Generation.
The whole Jewish nation came out from one Jew, Abraham. That's the first.
Financially, though, are you able to maintain this building and your staff with 150 children?
Financially, it increased very good, very much. Spiritually, it's also about to complain.
You can complain, you cannot.
I cannot complain. The only thing is we could use a bigger room also.
A bigger what?
Enrollment. Even with this expense we have now, if we get another 50 children, which of course are very little.
It would be the same staff, the same physical setup.
Maybe we need another teacher, one or two for say.
How many teachers do you have now?
Altogether we have about 20 teachers.
20?
Because both the boys and the girls are separate, and then the Hebrew classes and the English classes are separate. So we need double teachers for Hebrew and for English, not for boys and for girls.
Did you find living in Pittsburgh more pleasant than you anticipated or harder than you thought it might be?
I didn't have any imaginations about it.
You never thought about it. How do you feel about the Pittsburgh Jewish community today?
I think the community is more very nice than it is here. Because 99% of the money comes from the Pittsburgh community. So it comes from Pittsburgh people.
So the Pittsburgh community has been cooperative, and aside from that first problem with a landlady, your living conditions have been all right?
Yes.
You've lived in a duplex? And then did you come to this apartment on Whiteman Street?
What do you mean, my private life? How was it?
Yes. I was asking about your private life in Pittsburgh. I mean, after that first problem with your landlady and the furnace, was life all right after that, or were there problems?
No, you didn't have any special problems.
Not special problems?
I mean, we are people which are taking everything the way it comes, and there are any complaints, not only not to complain to somebody, but for yourself, we're trying to make up the best of everything. So, thank God we didn't have any special problem, especially the children for the Hashem grew nicely and the way we wanted to. It didn't come easy, but we didn't expect everything.
Tell me about your children. Start with the oldest and give me, you know, the name and what they are doing at the time.
Zalman and Label.
Zalman
and Label. When we came here, the oldest was 40 years old, not here in Pittsburgh, in the United States.
The oldest was 4 when you came to the United States.
Four,
that was Zalman.
Zalman. And Label was 2.5.
Label, 2.5.
2.5. When we lived in New Jersey, we didn't have any place to get in our all-day school, of course. Mm-hmm. And he went in public school, the older. He was that time 4.5, almost 5 years old. And it came close to Christmas. They sent with him a piece of material. I should sew us a red blouse for him. And he should become some of the Santa Claus. Mm. So first he said to them, my mother cannot sew. So the teacher asked what she's doing, if she has to do something for you. He said she can sew only buttons. And he didn't, he took the material back, and we took him out. It happened that time in Elizabeth, was a rabbi prayer. And he opened an all-day school because he had a boy his age. He opened the school and we took out our child from there and we put him there in the all-day school. It was 7 children in 7 grades. It was 1 teacher for English and Hebrew. But she was very excellent. And it went out like this until he was already about 8, 9 years old and he needed a higher education. And we sent him in New York. And that wasn't an easy job either.
So the 9-year-old child?
9, and he was 9.5 and the other one was 8.
Oh, you sent the 2?
Both. It was very hard for us, but we couldn't help it.
Who did they live with?
They were boarding in a private home. And they went to Yeshiva in Williamsburg. It was very hard, and people were not sympathetic with that. In fact, some women called me stepmother for doing such thing.
Did you have other children at home then?
Yes. Yeah, Kenny.
Kenny
came, the first year we came here in the United States, 9 months later, 10 months. He came in January and she got born in November. So we had her other. We had Kenny.
Kenny is how much younger than the...
5 years.
Younger?
No. She's 4 years older than, younger yeah. Than Label.
Than Label. All
and
right.
Then 5 years later came another child.
That's Zushi.
He is in Israel.
Right.
We have a son in Israel.
All right, 5 years younger than Kenny.
Yeah.
Is your son in Israel? And then
Bessie
is how much?
Bessie is 4 years old, younger than Zushi. And then Rivka, 3 years old, younger than Bessie.
You have another child that I don't know about.
We have 6 children.
Oh.
3 sons and 3 daughters.
The youngest is Rivki?
Yes.
All right, now tell me where all the children are now.
Yes. Zalman, the oldest, Zareba in Nashville, Tennessee.
Excuse me, I just want to ask another question. You had to send the two older children to New York.
Yes.
For their education. What about the other four?
We moved, we were, for 8 years we were in New Jersey. After 8 years we moved in Chicago. So there for 1 year Zalman went in the yeshiva, but that yeshiva had only for Talmud, only for the Jewish education, but for English education we had to send them in public school. But for the younger children we had there also all the school. So after he graduated, he went only 1 year. No, he didn't go in high school there at all. He went for 1 year, and then we sent him in New York by himself. He went, he was 12 years old when he graduated elementary school. And he went to New York, again the same yeshiva where he was as a baby. Then, when we moved here in Chicago, we were for 5 years. We came here that year. My older daughter, Kenny, went also in Willisburg in the Beis Yaakov, the girls' school.
And how old was she then?
12.
She had to go to New York.
She had to go to New York. And Zushi was in New York already. And every child, soon they graduate here, our school, the elementary school, they went to New York.
And they all boarded with a family.
No,
no,
not all of them. At that time already, the yeshiva, boys yeshiva had a dormitory. Kenny was for a while in a dormitory, for a while private. And the girls, the other, they were private in an apartment with girls. And they stayed there until they graduated high school and seminar.
Well, is the seminary like college?
Is it they're becoming
years?
No, 2 years.
2 years.
2 years and becoming teachers, Hebrew teachers.
I see.
And it was every
what about the boys?
The boys went to yeshiva. Then our Rebbe came. While Zalman and Leibel were in Williamsburg, and his last year of high school, our Rebbe came, and he opened the yeshiva in Crown Heights.
This is Rabbi Schneerson.
Yeah, this
the
Rabbi.
The present one.
Yeah. Not the president, no.
No.
Before.
His father-in-law.
So he opened a yeshiva and they went there. They went in his yeshiva. Mm-hmm. And the girls remained to go in Williamsburg. Now already the grandchildren go having in Crown Heights at the Srifke from Lubavitch also. And they go and go in Beis Rivke.
What is that?
That's also a girls' school, but it's named Beis Rivke, not Beis Yaakov. In Williamsburg, it's called Beis Yaakov, the girls' school. In the Crown Heights, it's called Beis Rivke. Beis means house, house of Rivke.
I see.
And now from the grandchildren already, we have 3 graduates from Beis Rivke. 2 of them married. The 3rd one is teaching by us. And the 4th was graduate this year and should be next year a teacher by us.
Very nice. All right, now tell me where all of your children are.
Zalman is a rabbi in Nashville, Tennessee. Label is a principal in a girls' high school in New York. The Bronx.
In a girls' high school?
Girls'
a yeshiva?
A yeshiva. And lately he got his master degree. While he was taught in the yeshiva, he went to school.
What was the boys' education? They went through high school?
High school. Only high school.
That was it?
That's what it
is. And then they started to teach?
Yes. And Kenny, teaching here since she graduated the Beis Yaakov.
The seminary.
So right after that, they do start to teach when they graduate from high school.
The boys, like the girls, went through high school and then 2 years of seminary, and then they started to teach.
While they went to seminary, they teach, like the Rebbe's Rebbe.
They taught while they were in school. Okay.
In fact, she went to seminary. She was 16 years old at the time, and she taught eighth grade. And she was one of the best teachers. They asked us for another year. She should stay, but we couldn't give them. I said, you need it alone. But the boys remained to go in yeshiva.
After high school.
They remained in yeshiva until 21, 22, practically until they were engaged. Then they looked for a job.
In other words, you wanted them in at the yeshiva until they were married.
Yes. And now, even when they get married, they stay for another year or 2 years in yeshiva. This calls already kollel. So a little bit from the yeshiva, they helping them a little bit. The wife goes to teach, and a little bit the parents are helping from both sides. Whoever can, anyway. So that's the way of...
So in other words, while they're in school, they can earn a little bit of money teaching.
Not the girls. But the girls have only a half a day of Jewish education. The other half a day, they can teach English.
Well, how do the boys manage financially then?
The same thing. They are going in dormitory. And whoever cannot pay too much, everyone pays as much as they can. Mm-hmm. It's not a certain amount of money you must pay. Especially the older boys. So they are helped from that. And they don't have too much. They're not spending on the side anymore. I think that's
the
parents helping as much as they can. That way I said it wasn't an easy job to went through now. But no complaints.
The end result was good, so
the end of Baruch Hashem is very good. And the grandchildren are going to the same, that's the main thing. That not only the children, but the grandchildren going in the steps of the parents.
Now let's see, we only discussed where Zalman and the
label
are.
Then Kenny is by us. No,
wait, there's
time.
Another boy.
Wait, after Kenny at Zushi.
Kenny is teaching at the yeshiva.
She teaches all the time since she is from the Bes Yaakov. And now she is practically the principal in yeshiva because he is always out of the school. He is outside and she is inside.
Rabbi Weiss.
Rabbi Weiss is in the English department.
I see.
And she in the Hebrew department. Then Zushi is in Israel.
What is he doing in Israel?
He is working also in the yeshiva there. Part-time he's teaching, and part-time he's in the office. Bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. He got 6 children. Then Bessie, after him is Bessie. Bessie graduated with Bes Yaakov. She got married with a Russian boy, but he lived the time in the family in Israel. He was here in the yeshiva. They got married and they were sent to Italy.
Bessie's husband went to the yeshiva in Pittsburgh?
Not in Pittsburgh, I said here, I mean in the United States.
He went to New York.
Yeah, in New York, in the Rebavitch yeshiva he was. And he was... They were sent in Italy, in Milano. He was there, a rabbi. He's there, the rabbi, not in a big congregation, but pretty religious, Orthodox. And she opened a yeshiva there, just like we having here. The little children, she began with kindergarten, and now she has up to the 7th grade. And her child from 7th grade goes by us. The older girl, Rivki, and then a little boy, he was here for 1 year, now he's in New York. He's already 13 years old. And next year we're expecting she's having twins, 11 years old. So we're expecting him for next year here. This is Bessie. And she has 7 children, can I hurry? She's well known in Europe. Like here, the pioneer women of the Adasa, there is the Witzer.
The
women's organization, VITSA.
VITSA?
Yeah. Not a religious. But they know her and they like her. And they're calling her to speak. Before Pesach, she was in three places to speak. She was in London, in Rome, and Switzerland.
Switzerland.
In three places in 3 weeks.
She is well known.
She's well known.
She's international.
She is. And then Esther Rivke. Esther Rivke also got married to Israeli. He's not a born Israeli, a Russian, but he lived in Israel. And they went there and they sent him in the Negev. He both was teaching. Then they transferred them in another place near Afula. It's in Galil, yeah? Negev. No, not Negev, Galil. Near Afula. There she took courses. Before she was teaching Hebrew. Then she went to Haifa and she took courses and she became a recognized teacher in English. Now she took over the whole school in the English department. She has also 5 children. And her husband is in the army. He was in the Six-Day War. Now in the Yom Kippur War, he went until Pesach. For Pesach, they let him out. And then they gave him free for 3 weeks. He was here, for sure, as he was here by the Rebbe. And now he's again in the army. And she takes care of the school and the children. He was a teacher all the time, but he didn't like the work. He didn't like the work to be a teacher. And he stopped and he went, took courses also in Haifa. And now he's working in a telephone company. They want him to go higher to story, and they want to pay for him because he's very capable. But he doesn't care too much.
This is at the telephone company.
Yes, he likes the work, and they satisfied with him, and he's satisfied with them. And in fact, when he came here, he came to the Rebbe. Bothered him a little bit that he ran away from a job which was the Rebbe's job, like the teaching is the Rebbe's job. Mm-hmm. So the Rebbe told him, wherever you are my job. You can always do your work. You always can meet people and explain them what to be, how to be a religious Jew, and to observant Jew. Mm-hmm. This is your job, so don't worry, you didn't go away from my job. He's still with me.
That's very interesting.
So he was working, and they
are
in the beginning. In the beginning, they didn't like him too much because they saw a man like him, such a religious man in Israel, and such a job. They didn't like it too much. But the main person who was against him is now his best friend.
Did he come to see the rabbi because he felt uneasy about leaving the teaching?
He came to see because he needed something. He felt he didn't want to teach. He didn't like the work of teaching, but he felt guilty to leave it. So he wanted to come here and to talk to the Rebbe to explain
what
it. The first time he was at the
first time before he left the teaching, he came to see.
No, after. But it was after the Six-Day War. Yes. He came the first time. Mm-hmm. And now after this war, he came again because he felt he was went through a lot. And he needed something morally to give him more pep. So he came again, and she helps him to come, to help to get the money to...
Yes, you know, your daughter.
My daughter, yeah. And,
the first time that he came to see the rabbi, did the rabbi try to talk him out of leaving the
team? No, he didn't. In the beginning, when he used to complain that had a heart for him, he said, try. She tried for him, she helped him. She is an excellent teacher. But it didn't work out because he didn't like the work.
He was a teacher when she married him.
Yeah, he did teach the time. But he meant that with the time he'll get used to it. But he didn't. He didn't get used to it and he didn't like it. So he left.
Now she met him
in Israel. She was in Italy teaching. After she graduated
from
seminary,
yes.
She went to Italy to teach by my daughter, Bessie.
Yes.
And she teaches there for 2 years. First year she teached, and after summertime she went to Israel to visit Zushi, and there she married him. So she became engaged.
And he was a teacher then?
Yes. And she teached another year mm-hmm. in Italy because he didn't want to let her out. But after she got married, they went there and they teached both together. The same, it was in the Negev, Kriyat Gat, in the Negev.
And she is the head of a school now?
No, not at the head of the school, of the English department.
Of the English department?
Yes.
And where is the school located?
It's by close to Afula. That place is very not known. It's a small place, three little villages together in one school. But it's 5 minutes from Afula. So it's Afula now is known. There where she lives.
That's very interesting.
And she's well known there also. She's something happening in the place, so they're running to Sorevivke. Sorevivke knows everything. But I should be calling her. And she has five beautiful children.